Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Peterson Automotive Museum Deep Dives. My name is Leslie Kendall, and I'll be walking you through the Duvenet Hispano Suiza. Now, one of the most important things about the car is the era in which it was built. You cannot separate this car from the 1930s. It was the height of the Art Deco movement and the height of experimentation with aerodynamics. And that's a time when aerodynamics was more of an art than it was a science. Now, this car wouldn't be with us at all had it not been for a fellow by the name of Duvenet, André Duvenet. He was of the family that made the Duvenet Aperitif beginning in about the 1850s. He was born in the late 1890s, and in his 20s, he was a fighter pilot in the French Air Force. Later, he became involved with Hispano Suiza automobiles as a race driver, and he had about 8 or 10 different Hispano Suizas throughout his life. He was a real devotee of the mark. One of the things that impressed him, though, about automotive engineering in general was a certain kind of suspension that he had seen developed by a colleague. And he could not wait to put that suspension to use in an automobile. Keep in mind that back in the 30s, back in the 20s, roads were not what they are today. There were a lot of rocks, there were a lot of ruts, there were a lot of potholes. And to go smoothly over one of those roads without having your steering wheels yanked out of your hand was very difficult. But this new suspension promised to do away with all that, and indeed it did. André Duvenet needed a car to show off the suspension, so he built the first Xenia. Xenia, X-E-N-I-A, which is believed to have been named after his ex-wife who had passed. Later, that chassis was modified and used for this car. So this car has the Duvenet suspension, and it's got a whole slew of other wonders to talk about. Now, the view that most people would have seen of this Duvenet Xenia going down the road was the back. And you can see here where the aerodynamics really come to shine, because it tapers in the rear and it tapers to a point both upper and lower. And there is a bit of a belly pan under it, so it reduces the turbulence of the air as you're passing over it. It's meant to go through the air, not gently, not push it out of the way like a car with a vertical grille would. Automotive engineers would come to find out very quickly during this era that with the increasing speeds, the greater development of freeways, routes nationales, autobahns throughout the world, it was aerodynamics that was really going to win the day. Now, when the Duvenet Xenia was built, it was still possible just to buy a chassis from a manufacturer, send it to a coach builder, and have the coach builder build a body, but whatever fantasy you could conjure. And this was a fantasy that André Duvenet came up with. They were working with Sauchik, a Russian expatriate working in Paris, made some of the most avant-garde bodies of all time. Now, the most interesting feature about this car, one among many actually, is the way the door opens. Now, it's called a parallel opening door because it opens up, and by means of a parallelogram hinging system, it remains even with the side of the car and goes back. Now, it makes for easy entrance and exits, although sometimes people say that the mechanism is as much in the way as out of it. Now, when you have a car with this voluptuous shape, the shape carries over to the interior. So that means that that the door of the car on the inside is as concave as it is convex on the outside. And because of that reason, you can't have normal windows that roll down. So what you've done is you have a window that slides out, you screw it in place, leave it there, and that's how you get your air. If you wanted air also, you had a removable top, kind of a targa before Porsche started calling it that. Inside, it's right-hand drive. This is, after all, Paris. And in the day, it was thought that expensive cars really needed to be right-hand drive. It's true that in France, people drove on the right. But it was even well after the war, Delahaye, Delage, Tavolago, they retained the right-hand steering. Now, this interior would feel comfortable to anyone who is comfortable flying an airplane, because indeed, it almost looks like an airplane cockpit. You've got a number of gauges. You've got a very aerodynamic looking steering wheel, which is covered in cane, wrapped cane around the rim. These are for choke and for throttle, etc. This is the battery to start the car. Back in the 1930s, the best way of getting a steering wheel to grip was to wrap it in cane or some other kind of organic plant material. And that's exactly what was done here. And it feels very comfortable. You have ridges, and you're gonna need them because you're gonna have to saw at this steering wheel. And you notice how big it is? That's because you need a lot of leverage to turn this car around. It's a very, very heavy car, and this is, after all, before the days of power steering. But it wasn't before the days of power brakes, because Mark Birkett, who developed Hispano Suiza, he was the Suiza of the Hispano Suiza. He was Swiss engineer. He developed a braking system, a power braking system, that got stronger the faster you went. In other words, a car would use its own momentum to slow down. Now, while this car has a straight six, single overhead cam, Hispano Suiza engine, it is really properly not called a Hispano Suiza. It is a Dubonnet because it is on a chassis that was designed by André Dubonnet. And that's normally how cars get their reference. It's whatever the chassis is. And then the engine that that powers it, and then the coach building. So it's three different things that kind of blend together. This car is most properly called a Dubonnet Xenia. Dubonnet being the manufacturer, Xenia being the model produced by the manufacturer. Now, one would notice in the interior that it's cloth. The inserts are cloth. People think today that, well, why didn't they have an all-leather interior? I mean, it was an expensive car. They could have had what they wanted. But back in the day, cloth was actually more comfortable. In Europe, very expensive cars are sold more times than not with cloth interiors. It's just more comfortable, warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer. It doesn't wear as well. But if you're wealthy, you have a bunch of cars, you don't have to worry about wear because you're only going to use them for a brief period of time every season. Another interesting thing to note about the car, and again, it goes back to the organic nature of some of the equipment, are the floor mats. It's so interesting that you've got woven material. It snaps in and snaps out, but it doesn't slide. And it's actually very comfortable to put your feet on. It's not carpet, so you don't have to worry about it matting down. You can vacuum it, and you're good to go for the next time. Now, today, you're protected from seeing all of the mechanism of the car. All you see are what you're meant to see, the pedals, the gauges, the steering wheel. But here, you've got an awful lot of the car that you can look at. This is the starter. It's poking right into the passenger compartment, the gear shift, of course. People used to have to shift in the day. And you can see the frames that hold up the dashboard away from the firewall. You can see how the wires are so carefully matched. Everything was artistic about this car. There was no detail, really, that was left undone. Now, when you're ready to leave the car, closing it up, you just reverse the process of opening it up. You shut the window by hinging it back down, and you bring the door parallel and lock it into place. There's a latch in the back and a latch on the front. Turning that knob pulls both latches out. You can open the door. Something that's going to be apparent from this view is the lozenge-like, fuselage-like look of the vehicle. And it's silver, which might not be a coincidence, because when you think of airplanes of the day, they were indeed silver. And you think of aerodynamics, you think of André Dubonnet having been a pilot. Lots of aerodynamic themes in this car, including probably the color. Well, the back is by no means subtle, because it comes to a point in the middle and on a horizontal plane. But there's also so much detail back here, because what kind of car back in the 1930s had exhaust tips like this? It almost looks like a modern rocket, like something you would see on a launching pad. But no, this was just how André Dubonnet and the people who conceived the car decided they wanted to extract the exhaust. Right next to it are little taillights that are on sponsons of their own. And again, they give kind of a rocket-like effect. Now you reach your destination, but you want to get to your luggage. But how do you get to the luggage when there's no apparent handle on the outside? Well, it's pretty simple. You go to a leather pocket in the front compartment, pull out the T handle, open the little lock lid, insert the handle, turn it. You do the exact same thing on the other side, put it in, turn it, and you're ready to open. Well, once the trunk is open, you have access to the fitted luggage. And the fitted luggage is none other than Louis Vuitton. It's a label that an awful lot of people would like to see on their luggage. Even opening the hood on this car is something special and requires a special tool, which is kept in a leather pouch in the door. This little piece is essential to get to the engine. And it's kind of interesting how it works. You push it in to two holes that push against a latch, and you simply open it. And what you have is a straight six, single overhead cam engine that produces an ample amount of horsepower, the kind of horsepower you're gonna need to get a 2+ ton car down the road. Now to some people, the look of the grille and the grille bars evokes the 810, 812 Accord because they start at the front and they come all the way around to the back of the hood. And also, on a car like this, aerodynamics was very important and that extended even to the wheels. On a car from the mid-1930s, maybe you would expect to see wire wheels, but not on this car. There were wire wheels behind it, but you had aluminum spun discs on the top, all to reduce wind turbulence. Now, I mentioned before about the suspension, but here it is. It's something that's so unique and so compact and works so well that General Motors bought a patent for it. And we also talked a little bit about how you could get any kind of electrical equipment you wanted. For example, Marshall headlights. Well, this car has Marshall headlights. You could tell by the M. Well, as you might be imagining, I like this car quite a lot. And my appreciation of it goes way back because in 1994, I visited 12 museums in Europe, 12 car museums, and I saw this car at one of them. Had to take a picture of it. Didn't want to get in the way, so I sat on the floor. A car like this just doesn't end up on a used car lot. It was owned by a succession of collectors until it came into the hands of Peter and Merle Mullen. Peter Mullen was a devotee of French coachwork. He loved the Art Deco period. What better car for a collector like him than the Dubonnet Xenia? Well, thank you for joining me on this deep dive with the Dubonnet Xenia. We'll see you next time at the Peterson Automotive Museum.